Okay, so let's get started with the questions. So, put on my best speaking voice here. Given the emphasis on transparency in AI-generated content, how can the language here is open source community contribute to ensuring ethical use of AI in content creation? How do you see the role of open source software?
I'm not, I don't talk about open source. I also reject the word content. To talk about works, publications, communications as quote content unquote disparages them all. It says that they're of no indiv that individually they're of no value or importance. Their purpose is to fill up some box. And as long as the box is full, it doesn't really matter what it's full of. Well, I don't agree with that attitude, and therefore I've decided not to use the term, quote, content to refer to writings, art, messages, communications, publications. I don't want to look at them that way. So it's the attitude of somebody who owns a lot of stock in some sort of publishing or media company, or somebody who's the CEO and came from some other kind of company and just wants to have a lot of stuff in the box that a lot of people will pay for.
It's the sort of commoditization of ideas.
Not ideas, but writings, communications. Ideas are different things. You presumably in anything that's written, you'll find various ideas realized in its in various ways combined. But they're sort of elements that go together to make up a story, a publication, an announcement, a communication. In any case, it is commoditization. It's fundamentally commoditization, and that's why I won't use that term, no matter how someone tries to entice me. And the other term I won't use is, quote, open source, unquote, because that is a distortion of what I have advocated for 40 years. I've advocated free software. Free as in freedom. I'm not talking about price. Free software is software that respects users' freedom, and this is important because freedom is important. Taking away people's freedom is an injustice, and a non-free program does exactly that to its users. If you use a program that's not free software, well, that means you're under somebody else's power, because with any program that you might perhaps use, or that users might use, either the users control the program or the program controls the users. It has to be one or the other. Well, if the users control the program, that means they control the computing they do with the program. They control it both individually and separately and collectively, because any one user is free to change the program to do something else. And also, users are free to get together and cooperate to change the program to do something else. So it's both separate control over the program and collective cooperating control over the program. And any subgroup, any subset of those users can get together and implement the change they want. And if other users don't like that, well, they go on using their versions and they can make their changes. So this is what it's like for people, for society, or the users who have anything to do with that program, to have both separate control and collective control. And that's what makes a program free. So if the users don't control the program, then the program controls the users. And whoever does control the program's code controls the program, and therefore through that program has power over those users. That's an injustice. That's what I am campaigning for 40 years to escape from and help other people escape from, and ideally to put an end to that sort of power structure. Now, this is rather controversial, especially in regard to business. Businesses don't want people to think of life in terms of freedom and whether somebody else has power over you or not. Because if you think that way, you might start refusing to participate in the structures that you encounter. So, of course, there were people who wanted a way to talk about the same software and the same things we were doing with software, but forget about the moral aspects. That level was supposed to be ignored and buried. And the way they do that is with the term open source. You'll notice that that is entirely associated with practical values and practical evaluations of things. The moral side of things has been forgotten, omitted. Well, that was the whole point of open source, and that's why I don't use that term.
Yeah, I recall reading, I think it was an article on the FSF, I believe it was an article you wrote on the FSF website that outlines that pretty well, that open source is taken from a practical perspective, whereas free software is taken from a ideological or moral perspective.
Moral is a better description of it. Because, well, politics, if you're really thinking about things deeply, is a moral question. What are the rights each person should have? That's the basis of political questions if you don't ignore the question of rights. So I understood what was going on when they made up the term open source, which was in 1998. I had been working on free software for about 14 years and working on developing the GNU operating system, which was a way to give people freedom. Here's this free software operating system, use it, and nobody has power over you. That was the purpose of developing the GNU system. It's the only operating system that was developed for reasons of freedom. Anyway, well, there might be others more recently in addition. I guess I shouldn't say the only one. But the point is that the part that the term open source omits is the part I think is crucial, and this is no coincidence. So I could answer a question about free software and some other way of describing what activity you're talking about. Maybe I can come up with one. But you were talking about generation of things, right? In your question, my memory is a bit hazy, but is that right? Do I remember right?
Not exactly. I guess broadly the question is how can we as a whole contribute to ethical use of AI in creative expression, let's say?
Well, I guess I should first ask, when you say AI, could you be a bit more concrete about what you're talking about? Because the things that are done by language models and neural networks, I don't agree that that's an instance of artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And there's a reason for that. It's that To call something intelligence, it has to be able to know some things and understand some things. And things like ChatGPT doesn't understand anything. Makes smooth bullshit. And if you
Plausible
ever
speech.
trust it, yeah, it sounds smooth. But if it ever seems to tell you some or refer to some what might be a fact, it's very likely to be wrong. You just can't trust it for anything. It's about as dumb as trusting Trump on anything. I mean, you have to not care about being wrong in order to trust something like that. So I do not call it intelligence. There are programs that I would say are artificial intelligence. They understand some field and they can come to correct conclusions at least pretty often. And maybe more often than a trained human being would. But that's not what you're talking about, I think. Are you sp well, are you taught does you, do you include things like that? I mean, or when you talk about artificial intelligence, are you really thinking about generative language models?
So the this question template and the thing, the contest that's being run on Hacker Noon does specifically call out I believe specifies both AI and separately LLMs. Which are
Well,
the large language models.
I don't know about things that AI could usefully do in terms of creative writing and art. But clearly, large language models can be used for that. And if what you're doing doesn't have to have any criteria of validity, then why not? If there's something that will generate images and they only have to look interesting, well, I gather it makes some images that are interesting. Okay. You shouldn't say that it's your work, but if you can, come up with interesting things and show them to people, that could be quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I know there's also some interesting arguments about whether or not machine-generated, think at the very least, images are subject to copyright.
Oh, they're not. That's pretty clear. But that's a side issue anyway. I mean, copyright is a side issue as regards writing and art. It's not copyright that makes something art. And it's not copyright that makes something good art or bad art.
That's fair.
So to me, when somebody jumps quickly to the subtopic of copyright, it suggests an ulterior motive. And you can see around us that there is a camp to broaden copyright and take away rights that people have always had in using works that were made by others. And it's the right to think about them and look at their style and imagine how you could reproduce things sort of like them. Now, this is something that we've been free to do, and artists generally have done quite a lot. So you'll learn what's the styles of other artists consist of, what makes a work part of that style and how you could make that style if you want to. And you might even make something else in that style, and why shouldn't you? But you also think of other styles. Well, there's an effort right now to make that illegal, because now there are programs that can do that. And somebody, probably somebody with a lot of money, is offended by that and must be spending a fair amount of money to get this idea publicized that should be a crime. And they use the standard insult, piracy. And that's what it is. It's a smear term. Any sort of imitation, any amount of copy, no matter how small, is likely to be smeared as piracy, meaning it's the moral equivalent of attacking a ship. And the reason that that's going on is somebody is trying to get it made illegal. Well, I'm against that campaign, and I think we should start resisting it as hard as we can, because we will be among those whose rights are curtailed. I don't want to give star authors and artists and musicians additional legal monopoly power, and especially I don't want to give it to the businesses that end up owning or monopolizing those copyrights. Because they're the ones who are really going to have the power. And you'll notice in the past year or two, a lot of famous songwriters have sold the copyrights on their work to big businesses. But it's normal, though. It's been the case for decades that big businesses will own the phono record copyright on recordings that they have made. So don't imagine that you're giving more power to some musician that you might admire. It's going to be enjoyed by a big business in the name of that person you admire. And it's going to be power over you.